Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
You know, when we look at life, life has many complex situations, circumstances, and things that we get involved in. One of the most confusing and complicated things that we can sometimes deal with is insurance. Can I get an amen? You know, insurance can be confusing. Like, you look at the fact that, you know, why does my premium keep increasing when the value of my car is decreasing by the second, right? It's just depreciating. So my father-in-law works in the insurance industry, so I get to see a few details and some of the inner workings of the industry. And, you know, here's the thing. There's a whole bunch of T's and C's in insurance that if you don't stick to, you might not get paid out your claim, or you might get a limited payout. Let me give you some examples. So you have to be covered for the right amount when it comes to household insurance. Right? That's your responsibility. You have to know how much your household contents are valued at. Who knows that kind of stuff? Because you have to know from the AMC pots, how much are those worth? To the ornaments that your family members gave you, which you don't mind getting stolen, but how much are those things worth? Because if you're not clear with the insurance company of how much all your stuff is worth, when something happens to your house, you will only get back, paid back a percentage of what you lost. Who knew? Now, let's say with vehicle insurance. So let's say you've insured your vehicle under personal insurance. Now, you go to work, and during the day, you go for a business meeting, and something happens, and you have an accident. The insurance company is not liable to pay you out for your claim. Who knew? So there's all these T's and C's that exist, and these complications. You know, sometimes we can view prayer like insurance. We're trying to claim on all God's promises, but for some reason, we're getting rejected. We're getting denied. We're not seeing the full blessing in our lives. What's happening? Because just like insurance has its T's and C's, prayer also has its T's and C's. So today, that's what we're going to be talking about, the T's and C's of prayer. So if you're taking notes, hopefully you are. God's going to ask you for your notes when you get to heaven. He's not, but it's a good way to get there. So make sure you're taking notes on your phone or wherever you are. The T's and C's of prayer. You know, when it comes to insurance and the T's and C's of insurance, it's found on those pages that we've chosen not to read. Those pages that follow the highlights page, because that's what we look at, right? It's that main highlights page. Okay, yeah, that's my vehicle. That's my car. That's my registration. What's the premium? Okay, cool. Yeah, that's it. Sometimes we have this mentality when it comes to prayer as well, and scriptures on prayer. What we do is we just see the highlights of scripture. We just see the pieces of scripture, the snippets of scripture on the highlights page. And normally this page is Instagram. Or it's those picture quotes that your auntie sends you on WhatsApp. So we base our theology and our understanding of prayer on these pieces of scripture with pretty backgrounds of mountains and trees and oceans. And we miss out the full picture that God is trying to communicate to us. You know, we have to make sure that we have a solid foundation and understanding of what prayer is all about. So what is the basis and the foundation of prayer? A good person to look at on this kind of teaching is Jesus, right? So Jesus, when teaching his disciples on how to pray, obviously teaching us on how to pray, he starts the prayer with two words. Bible trivia. Our Father. Why does he use those two words? You know, God has many names, numerous amount of names in the Bible. Why does God choose to use that? He could have said God. Why did he choose our Father? You know why? Because prayer is all about relationship with God. That's the basis of it. And what is relationship about? Relationship is all about trust. So this prayer lifestyle that we're living is all about developing this trust so that we can develop a relationship with God. That's the premise of prayer. You know, often we struggle with this concept of prayer because we struggle with the concept of a relationship with God. And God has given us earthly relationships, and our earthly relationships give us insight into how we need to act with God, respond with God, or what we should expect from God. So let's look at an example. We look at a man and a woman, right? A husband and a wife. Now, when they start their journey, obviously it starts off by them meeting each other, right? That day, you know, you spotted them across the room. You're like, oh man, I like what I see. And then you start from there, right? You start having conversations. You get to know each other. You communicate, you chat, you go on your dates, you're WhatsApping each other, you're chatting throughout the day, and you're sharing more and more personal stuff. And what's happening here is that trust is developing, right? You're sharing stuff about yourself, and now you are trusting the person with this thing. Now you go through life and you start experiencing things and you get married and you share life experiences. You learn about the person through their friends and their family. You get to know them more. And this trust develops over time, more and more. And the goal of marriage through this critical relationship is intimacy. Not just physical intimacy, but an emotional intimacy. So if I look at my own marriage, my wife has complete confidence to approach me about something. Right? She has complete freedom to come and ask me, and she's confident to approach me because she knows that, man, if I ask my husband for something, I trust him to the point where if he has the ability, he's going to give it to me. She's not sitting in the other room like scared to ask me for something because we've built trust over this time. And even if I can't give her something, she knows that there's just reason of why I can't give it to her. So we understand that concept of relationship and trust. What about with God? So we first meet God, right? In a church service or however we met God for the first time. We have an encounter with God. And what happens then? We get to know God. How do we get to know God? We read His Word. If you're not reading His Word, we're not going to get to know God. We come to church and we hear from the preacher who God is. We start learning about who God is from other people as well. We hear their experiences, testimonies. We start getting a fuller picture of God. Now, how does God get to know us? Obviously, God knows everything about us. But when we start to share our thoughts, our emotions, our needs with God, we start getting vulnerable with God. And we start trusting God more. So this relationship starts to develop and this trust starts to develop. Then we start to share our experiences with God, our life with God. You see, this experience doesn't end on a Sunday. It has to carry on during the week where we start communicating with God. We start having this conversation with God. Because as we go on this journey with God, trust develops. More and more trust develops. And what's the goal of a relationship? Intimacy. So we need to get to the point where through this relationship, we can have confidence that when we approach God, we know that He'll give us what we need. He will provide for us. And if He doesn't, He has just reason. So I wanted to make sure I spend time on this because if this is the basis of prayer, we need the solid foundation in our minds of, hey, prayer is about trust and journeying this relationship with God. Because sometimes we can lose sight of that. Then we start having doubts and questions in our minds. And I know I've asked many questions about prayer. Like one of them being, you know, if God knows everything about me, surely He knows what I need, right? Why should I pray in the first place? Ever had that thought in your mind? Be honest. I've definitely had that thought. So what is this about? Is that about? Because if God had to give us everything that we need, we'd never have an opportunity to trust Him for anything. If there's never an opportunity to develop trust, there's never a relationship. See, God is not a genie, He's a father. So He wants us to journey this life, trusting Him for things in our lives so we can step into a relationship. Because God's deepest desire is to have a relationship with you and I. So this is the premise with which I want to communicate today's message. That this is all about relationship with God. This amazing thing called prayer is all on the foundation of trust with God. So let's look at some of the T's and C's of prayer. Some of that Instagram theology that we may find ourselves getting into. So let's look at the first example, the first place where we can sometimes get confused. Let's look at this verse together. James 4 verses 2, it says this. You don't have what you want because you don't ask for it. Okay, Instagram. Psalm 37 verses 4. He will give you the desires of your heart. See that with the beautiful background? Oh, there are the mountains. Oh, this is inspiring. So we step into this and think, okay, that sounds easy. I'm just going to ask for these things and I'm going to get it. God will give me all the desires of my heart. And then we're sitting in this room and we said, man, Nick, I've tried that. But for some reason, I haven't been able to lay claim to that promise yet. What's going on? And here's the T and C to those verses. Point number one, you must check your motives. You must check your motives. Because here's the thing. Instagram didn't tell us about James 4 verses 3 because this is what it says. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. So there we thought, man, I'm going to name and claim this thing. I'm going to get it. We ain't going to get it if our motives are wrong. We have to make sure we're checking our motives if we're going to step into this promise. What did Instagram not tell us about Psalm 37 verses 4? You see, what it couldn't fit the whole scripture in there, because otherwise it would be cutting out some of the mountain. So it cut it short. This is what the whole scripture says here. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what does the word delight mean? The word delight means to please someone greatly. When we're praying, what is our motive? Is our motive to please ourselves, or is it to please God as well? And we might look at our lives and say, okay, how do I decide this? How do I differentiate where I sit with this? And it's not some mystical thing. The way we identify this is by looking at our current lives, the way we're living, and saying, man, am I currently trying to please God? Because if we're living disobedient lives, we can clearly see that we're trying to please ourselves more than trying to please God, right? So maybe you find yourself in a relationship and you're not married yet, and you're sleeping with your girlfriend or boyfriend. But even in that moment, you're praying for God to bless your relationship. God's like, what? Or we're not tithing and giving of our offerings as God asks us to do, and in the same breath, we're praying for financial breakthrough. Or we find ourselves in a space where we're not serving in God's house and committing to His kingdom and building His kingdom, and then we're asking for clarity in our purpose. God's saying, man, you're never going to receive the blessing of that because I need you to aim to please me. Where are your motives? And our current lives will show us where we're sitting in those areas and their place. You know, we never want to get stuck into legalism. So it's always important to bring this back to relationship. You know, a healthy relationship is about two people and both parties wanting the best for each other. That's when a relationship is the healthiest, when you want the best for each other. So what does this look like with God? When we try to please God, and that's our aim, it brings into alignment, and we align what's best for God will be best for us. That's what prayer is all about in this relationship. So we find ourselves in this prayer journey. We find ourselves, okay, man, I've checked my motives. I'm really trying to please God. I've waded through the nonsense, and I'm like, man, Lord, I want to please you. But somehow still, I'm not receiving the blessing from God. What else is Instagram lying to us about? Let's look at a verse here in 1 John 5, verses 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Man, sounds simple again. There's lots of we and me in there, though. But are you saying that, man, whatever I ask for, I'm going to get as well? Where am I going wrong here? Here's the T&C. Point number two, we have to desire God's will more than our own. We have to desire God's will more than our own. Because again, Instagram didn't tell us about verse 14. Your auntie didn't send you the right picture with the full verse. 1 John 5 verse 14 says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask for anything according to His will, He hears us. Of course, God hears everything we say. But when we're praying according to what He wants for our lives, His ear is even more inclined to our prayers. We have to make sure we have the full picture in our minds. You know, Timothy Keller, he wrote a great book on prayer. And he says that God has a safety valve on our prayers. Because sometimes, even though our motives are right, sometimes we don't get the answer to our prayer because God sometimes needs to protect us from our own prayers. Because He knows what's best for us. And the Bible is full of these sayings, and in Psalm 84, it speaks about how God wants to withhold no good thing from His people when they do what is right. Another condition there. But He wants to withhold no good things from our lives. So why do we not receive all these things? And what we need to settle in our lives is that sometimes God's good is different to our good. Sometimes we have a misalignment of what's actually good for us in terms of our lives. So earlier this year, my wife and I, we were looking to buy a new car. Family's getting bigger, the kids are growing up, and I've been putting a little bit of weight, so just generally, we're growing. So we're looking for an SUV, looking at our budget, we had a certain brand and car that we had in mind that would be good for our family. Looking at our budget and our price range, we're like, man, we can afford a 2016 model right now. That would fit in. So we started looking on the internet, on Auto Trade, all those good sites, and we found a great one. Oh, great color. The mags were good. Amen. This is the one, Lord. This is the one. Can we have this one? Picked up the phone. Call this guy. And he says, oh, man, it just got sold. I was like, oh, bummer. Like, okay, all right. But disappointed, obviously. But okay, let's keep looking. So we carried on searching, and we found another great one. This one is even better. The mileage was low. And Lord, this is the one. This has to be the one. We prayed. We were like, yes, thank you, Lord. Picked up the phone and, oh man, he just got sold. Like, Lord, what is going on here? Why are we not receiving this? Man, we're serving your house. We're giving. We're generous. We're trying to do all these things and we're not getting the blessing. And we carried on going. And then a week later, my brother-in-law calls us. He's like, Nick, you won't believe it. The car you want, there's a brand new one that's being sold at the dealership today in your price bracket for some bizarre reason. You need to get there right now. So we go there immediately, get there, there's one of these cars left. And we buy the car, a 2019 model in our price bracket, the brand we wanted, the color we wanted. Man, we were so grateful. But you know what? We're so grateful that God didn't answer our two previous prayers. Because what's good for God in his mind might be very different to what's good in our minds. We have to trust that God has the best for our lives. His will is always better than our will, but we have to desire his will for our lives when we pray. Because we know when we look back at that moment, you're like, man, that was nothing else but God, but his goodness that we got to experience in our lives. So we pray. We wade through our motives and we try and find out, Lord, am I trying to please you? Then we settle, Lord, I want your will over my will. This is what I want. I want your will for my life. So then we're like, then why shouldn't I just pray for God's will be done? In the morning, Lord, let your will be done. Amen. Thank you. Why can't we pray like that? What's stopping us from doing that? It sounds a bit super spiritual, right? And here's the thing. Point number three, we have to know what we want. We need to know what we want. Read a story in the book of Mark, and there's this man, blind Bartimaeus. His name is Bartimaeus. He was blind. It's not his first name. His name is Bartimaeus. And he's blind, and he's standing there, and he hears about Jesus coming around the place here, and he hears the commotion around him. And he screams out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And God is like, Jesus is like, what do you want? What do you want? Don't be super spiritual about it. What do you actually want? In A.W. Tozer, in his book on prayer, he says that we need to pray until we pray. Because sometimes we're busy fumbling with our words. We don't know what I want. We're so vague with all these things. We need to continue to pray until we actually prayed for what we want. So we've actually got to the point where we said, oh Lord, I'm honest with myself and I'm honest with you. This is what I want. See, the reason why we have to be specific about what we're praying for is that the more specific we are, the more glory God gets. Because sometimes when we're so vague about our prayers, when it comes to pass, we don't even know if it was God that gave it to us. We don't even know if it was some general karma that came through our lives. When we're specific about, this is the brand I want, this is the color I want, this is the mileage I want, when it comes through, you're like, oh, this has to be God. And what it does is it builds our faith, and even other people around us, they get to see how good God is. But we have to be specific about what we want to see God's glory and his work and his goodness in our lives. So we're standing here, we've prayed. Our motive is right. We want to please God. We're trusting for God's will and we desire his will over our will. We've decided that this is what I want. We've prayed until we've prayed. We've got honest with ourselves. We're saying, Lord, this is what I want for my life. What else is Instagram stopping us from receiving? Let's look at this verse here in Psalm 27 verses 13, and it says this. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. We live in a world that is in this instant gratification society. Even Instagram, it's in the word Insta, instant. We want things here and we want it now. And we can build this kind of theology in our minds, but what is the TNC here? What is God wanting to give us the full picture of? Point number four, we have to trust in God's timing. We have to trust in God's timing. And often this is where we struggle at times. We struggle in this space because we've prayed for these things and now there's this waiting period and sometimes we get lost in this period. We drift. We start to doubt God's character. We start to doubt his goodness, that he's a loving father in our lives as we wait in this situation. But you see, this is what Instagram didn't tell us in Psalm 27 verses 14. It says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, in case you forgot, wait patiently for the Lord. We have to wait on God's timing. You know, God has a reason for the delay. He has a purpose in the delay. You know, when we look at God's word, we read it, but it's a highlights reel. You know, when you look at the Word of God, it's obviously a big book, but it's written over thousands of years. So we can sometimes get lost in the fact and thinking that, man, there's just miracles that are happening. God's just dropping miracles, but He's not. These miracles are happening over hundreds of years in people's lives. Because God's got a process in His timing. So we have to make sure when we look at God's timing is explained only in the bigger picture. So what God did is He created time. Time didn't exist before God created it. He created this and then he created man, humankind, and He popped us into time. But God sits outside of this time. So He sees the end already. So that's why when it comes to His timing, He's already seen the end. So He has a process that's happening right here in this space, and we have to trust in His timing because He sees what's best for us in our lives. You know, so we might be praying for healing. We're praying for months, and then it gets to 5 years. We're praying. We're like, Lord, okay. Praying for 10 years, 15 years, 20, 30, 30 years. And we start asking God, Lord, what is going on here? I thought You were a loving Father. I thought You wanted the best for my life. What is going on here? But what we didn't see is the number of people that have been viewing us over those 30 years. The number of people seeing our joy and God's faithfulness in our lives and seeing the community of believers that are being around us and their lives are impacted because they've seen what's been happening. Because if we were healed right at the start, we would never have the opportunity of other people being impacted as well. Sometimes God's delay in timing is there for a greater impact and a greater glory that we could not see in the midst of our trouble. God has a process in the timing for His glory. You know, sometimes the delay is to help us build the dependence on God. You know, because if the premise of prayer is all about our relationship and our trust, God wants to build this in our lives. Because sometimes we're not mature enough for the blessing yet. Because I know, I look at my own journey, and there's been moments in my life when I felt like things were going well is often when I'm the furthest away from God. Anyone ever experienced that in your lives? When things are going well, we drift from God because we feel like we don't need Him anymore. We don't press in to God as much as we do when we're going through hard times. So sometimes God uses this timing and these moments to help us build a dependence on God. The delay gives us an opportunity to build a dependence on God. God has a process in the timing, and we have to make sure that we surrender to that and trust God that He's doing something in that process. So we pray. And our motive is good. We're trying to please God. We're trusting God for His will, and we're desiring it over our will. We know what we want. We've prayed until we've prayed. We've been honest with ourselves. We find ourselves in a space where we're now trusting in God's timing. What should we do next? Where should we find ourselves in this space? We have to keep relying on God. What are we doing in the wait? We keep relying on God. You know, the wait is hard. The wait is tough and it tests us. Now, when do we know when to give up? You know, when we continually asking God for the things that we want in our lives, when is it a lack of faith to keep asking God for the things? Does God have amnesia? Has he forgotten us? Has He forgotten our needs? Again, let's look to Jesus to see how we should respond in this time of waiting. And here Jesus tells us in Luke 11, and He says this, then teaching them more about prayer, He used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. Obviously, this is not an Indian family because obviously you got your containers of samosas in the fridge already, in the ice cream container. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family are all in bed. It's winter, it's getting cold. Everyone's got the electric blanket on. I can't help you. But I tell you this, Jesus saying this to us, though he won't do it for your friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you what you need because of your shameless persistence. This is Jesus telling us this. Sometimes we're too timid and polite with God. God is saying, I want to know that you're serious about what you're asking for. Because sometimes prayer isn't enough. Because sometimes we need the prayer and the fasting. Because often, you know, words are easy to give, right? Well, we can just say those words, put it out there, put that request into the air. But God is like, are you serious about what you're asking for? in this time delay, I want to see how desperate you are for these things. And that's why we need to fast. And fast is not about, putting God's hand behind his back and saying, Lord, I'm not going to eat until you give me. No, that's not what it is about, right? I'm not holding God ransom. But what it's saying is that, Lord, I'm willing to give up my natural fleshly appetites to humbly come before you and trust you for what I want in my life. Because as I do that, I'm trusting for your perspective. And in this moment of distraction-free life, I'm able to wade through my motives and say, am I trying to please God? I'm wading through my will and saying, okay, Lord, I'm desiring your will over my life. Sometimes we need to do fast. Sometimes we need to get on our knees. Sometimes we need to be so desperate and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm coming to you and taking this action, and I know my feelings will follow, but I'm surrendering to you and I'm relying on you. I'm coming with a shameless persistence because you've asked me to do that. I know you're good. I want to show you that I'm desperate for your touch in my life. We need to make sure we're showing that we're relying on God, and sometimes it's going to take more than prayer. It's going to take a fasting. It's going to take a surrender from our souls and our hearts to show God that we're serious about these things in our lives. So how do we know when to give up on something? How do we know when the answer is actually a no? You know, God's either going to open a door or he's going to close the door. We're going to be fully aware of when we should stop praying for something, because God will show us an answer to it. He is faithful to always answer us, but in his timing. So we look at someone who has had a critical illness for their lives, and they've been journeying with something. You see, God's answer in healing, as well as them passing away, is still according to his plan. We have to trust that no matter what happens, God will give us an answer. Sometimes it might not look like what we think it's going to look like, but it's always God's plan, and he has a bigger picture in perspective. We have to trust him and rely on his goodness always. So, we've prayed. Like, look, we've heard the story. Our motives are right. We're pleasing God. We're desiring God's will more than our own will when we're praying. We're trusting him, and we've prayed until we've prayed. We've realized, this is what I want, Lord. We're trusting in God's time, and we're saying, Lord, I'm holding out you. I'm developing a dependence on you. I know that there's a process in the wait, and I'm relying on you. I'm being desperate for your touch, for what you want for my life. I'm going to fast. I'm going to have a shameless persistence about this wait. Now, what is our role in this? Now, what should we be doing? Should we be doing something in this process of waiting at times? Point number 6 is this. Pray like it depends on God and work like it depends on you. In this moment, we need to pray like it depends on God and work like it depends on us. You see, maybe God is waiting and making us wait because he can't trust us to be faithful with the blessing yet. You know, we read right back in the book of Genesis where God gives us the mandate for humanity. And right there, he gives us this principle about management and stewardship. Read with me here in Genesis 2. It says this. This is the account of the heavens and the earth. When they were created, when the Lord God had made the heavens and the earth, now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth because there was no one there to work the ground yet. See, sometimes we're not going to experience the rain or the blessing in our lives if we're not able to manage it. God won't give us what we pray for. He gives us what we can manage. Sometimes we need to be organizing what we're praying for. So we're praying for a relationship in our lives, but we don't even have a job yet. Or we're praying for leadership and influence in our lives. We can't manage our own lives yet before managing other people's lives. Sometimes we're praying for things and God is like, man, I can't give you those things now because you're not going to be able to manage it. It's going to derail you and send you down a place where you can't handle it. God is trying to protect us until we are able to manage the blessing in our lives. Because sometimes we get the balance wrong between prayer and our responsibility. Pastor Mark Batterson, in his book called The Circle Maker, he says that prayer is the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. We first have to bring the best that we can do and then trust God that he'll bring his best into our lives, and our lives will take the route that he wants for us. You see, we can't abdicate ourselves from responsibility through the excuse of prayer. We have to make sure that we work at it with our lives. And as we come to a close today, A.W. Tozer is a great theologian and teacher of the word. And he says, often people use prayer like a fire escape, only used in cases of emergency. You see, we find ourselves in this place where we've got this amazing opportunity of this journey with God that we should be going on, but we fall short of that. We fall short of that trust relationship that we can develop. We need to make sure we step into the fullness of what God wants for our lives. And it's past communication on a Sunday church service. We can't just have dates with God. We need to commune with Him regularly. Allow Him to be part of our lives all the time. As we go through experiences, be vulnerable with God. And as we do that, we'll develop this trust. We'll develop this intimacy with God. And we'll be confident to approach God. We'll say, Lord, I know as I come to You, you've got the ability, and I know You've got the ability, You'll give it to me. You'll provide for my life. And if You don't, I know there's reason why. But it's never going to stop me from coming to You and trusting in You. Prayer is not a fire escape. It's something that we need to consistently build into our lives holistically. You know, there's been times where my wife and I, we were on the wrong side of the T's and C's of insurance. Through whatever things, we find ourselves in the wrong space. And what I didn't tell you is that my father-in-law, he owns the insurance company with which we insure our cars in. And there's been times where he's let us off the hook. We got paid out fully. Not because we deserve it, but because it's our father. There's another group of people that were let off the hook because of their loving father. You see, in the Garden of Eden, there were some T's and C's to the life that God created. And Adam and Eve, they breached the contract. They breached the T's and C's. And the penalty for the disobedience was death. But a loving father stepped in. He let us off the hook when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, and touched humanity's lips with the cross.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.